Sing it. Where's Matt? Is Matt around? He left. Oh, if we could have the keyboard. Mr. Arthur, can you play the keyboard? We bless God. Hallelujah. If you're happy to be in the house of the Lord, just give a mighty wave unto the Lord. If you're happy to be in the house of the Lord, give a mighty wave. Waving is a form of prayer. It's a form of prayer. And it's actually an art of thanksgiving. Amen. Father, we thank you. We bless your name for this wonderful time we're about to have. Father, stop me from speaking my mind and speak, O Lord, through me. Father, cause me to speak, O Lord, what you want us to hear. Anything you don't want us to hear, Father, don't let me speak it, O Father. I pray that you would lead us in understanding that even as we leave, we would have clear direction on what you are expecting from us. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. How many of you know yesterday was World Mental Health International Day? How many of you know? Oh, just I see one hand. And one of the good things I read is that there are actually signs that shows that someone is in need of mental care. And guess one of the signs? That is, if you don't smile and laugh often. Yeah, so those of you who are not smiling at me right now. but it's very important for us to take note of some of these things and take good care of ourselves. Amen. We need to take care of ourselves spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. Don't take things for granted. Things that cause you to be depressed, it's better for you to move away from them. Even as you literally have a good sense of living by walking with the Lord, make sure it translates into physicalities. Amen. Don't take your mental health for granted. Amen. So today we're going to be talking and sharing about blessed to be a blessing. 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 And the whole idea is to let us understand that God has blessed us so that we can be channels of blessings to other people. Mimbai Lama. So when God blesses you, his hope, his desire is not for you to become a recipient of the blessing, but to be a blessing to others. Understand? How many of you have heard of the Dead Sea? Yeah. And I'm sure you know why it's referred to as the Dead Sea, right? Because it only allows flow in, but has no flow out. And many of us, if we do not come to the point where we allow the Lord to use us as channels of blessings, we become like the Dead Sea. We only welcome blessings in, but we don't allow any blessing out. Amen. So today, the basic goal, the basic direction is to cause us to think beyond ourselves and think of others. Someone hit your chest and say, I am going to think of others. Good. I like that. And the key scripture I want us to read is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. This month, we are walking through the book of Ephesians. We are walking through the book of Ephesians, and I am personally carrying out a session or a series on the Fantastic Five. The Fantastic Five are Bible characters who possess qualities we can apply in our daily walk. Amen. So it's very important to understand that even as we look at this aspect in the lens of Ephesians, we are still going to have character studies on two of my I would call them some of my best characters, Aquila and Priscilla, and Joseph of Arimathea. Amen. So can we read it together? Ephesians 1, verse 3. It's on the board if you don't have the Bible. 1, 2, 3, read. Amen. So we need to understand that in Christ, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Amen. In Christ, you are sufficient and you lack no good thing. Amen. This basic understanding comes from the point that the Lord has prioritized his relationship with us above every other thing. And I wouldn't want to beat around the bush. The greatest blessing a Christian can ever have is the opportunity to go boldly before the throne of grace. The greatest privilege, the greatest blessing a Christian can ever have is to look up and look within and say, I am a child of God. Amen. Because we understand that for us being children of God, we are in place of good standing with the Father. And we have an inheritance among the saints. And the power of darkness and the power of sin has no control over us. Can I get an amen? The reason why Jesus Christ came to die is not for you to drive in a Lamborghini. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ did not come to die for you to own an 11-bedroom apartment. Jesus Christ came to die for you and I to cry out, Abba, Father. And have the Spirit of God running through our lives and directing us. The essence of his death was to reconcile a lost people unto the Father. Amen. That is why when people ask me, the man who was on the cross, when Jesus was dying, right beside him. And Jesus said, today, you are going to be in paradise with me. I'm like, that is a typical example of what we must understand. That in God's eye, everything we have, everything we could ever have, is of less importance as compared to the relationship we have with him. Amen. Wherever you are, hit your chest and say, Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. You want to say to yourself, Father, I thank you for your son dying for me. It's very important to understand that we would have been destroyed. We would have been totally condemned, both in this life and the next, if Jesus had not died for us. And the death of Christ has launched us into a place where we are called a blessed generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Because by his death, we are welcomed back into the place of understanding and fellowship with the Father through the Spirit. And I want you to understand this, that when you come to Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean all your problems and we really need to come with this understanding. It doesn't mean all your problems are gone away. That is not the focus of Jesus Christ. Indeed, as you walk with him, he gives you rest. But his focus is that you be rejoined with the Father. His focus is that you be welcomed back to the family. Amen. And that is why when people come into the family and they end up having those things as their focus. When issues rise up, then they fall back. They start wondering. But they told me if I come to Jesus Christ, all these things won't happen. So Pastor Gabe is still going on with treatment with cancer, does that mean that he is not born again? We must focus on the major and minor on the minors. So on this note, I want to begin with this, and I've written it there, that in Christ, we have everything that we could ever need. In him, we are satisfied. This is the best foundation and most effective way to approach life, that you are satisfied by virtue of your relationship and understanding with your walk with the Father. Amen. And I want us to look at what then does it mean for someone to be blessed? And I want us to go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is one of my favorite. My favorite chapter in the whole Bible is Romans chapter 8. Come on. How many of you love Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8 is like, if Romans chapter 8 was a movie, I'm sure it would have been like the end game. Like, Romans chapter 8 is, it has everything. It has drama. It has horror. It has everything. Like, it has action. There's some blows in there. You understand? Hallelujah. But we go to Matthew chapter 5, and we want to understand Jesus' description of who is blessed. You feel me? Let's take our Bibles. And we are going to read together. So let's read verse 1 together. 1, 2, go. Verse 2. Verse 3. So now Jesus is given the description of who is blessed. And he said, the first one, blessed are you when you have an 8-digit paying job. Is that what it says? But what does it say? Let's read it one more time. We need to understand what Christ perceives as blessing and what the kingdom of God perceives as blessing. And here he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? What does it mean to even say theirs is the kingdom of? Because when you understand that you have nothing, you make the kingdom of God first. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, what does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things. Seek ye first. So the understanding of knowing that you have a need is a blessing. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 4. 1, 2, go. And he's saying that it is a blessing to mourn. That is what Jesus Christ is saying. It's a blessing for you to mourn. It's a blessing for you to grieve out of suffering. Because he knows that the suffering of these present times cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Some of us, we don't want to go through any suffering for the kingdom. Amen. The Lord has told you, you need to start a Bible study in your home. You need to start a Bible study. And you are thinking, but how are all these people going to come into my house and I'm going to clean up? And no. The Lord is impressing on your heart. Come to church. Come to church. Sunday morning, come to church. And the sleep, the winter is coming and it's so cozy. And all you want to do is cuddle under the armpit of your loved one. He says, blessed are those who are mourning. Blessed are those who are grieving and suffering, because they are the ones who will be comforted. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 5. Blessed are those who are meek. In another translation, meekness goes for humility. Blessed are those who are humble. It means when you have the understanding that your worth
It's not based on someone being lower than you. You are blessed. When you have the understanding that saying sorry does not make you less of a human being, you are blessed. When you have the understanding that treating people right is a godly thing to do, you are blessed. And he says, they shall inherit what? Because the very moment you walk in a place of service and humility, we will get there. It's a principle. The very moment you start walking in service and humility, doors open for you. And Jesus Christ said it. He said, the greatest among you shall be who? The greatest among you shall be who? No, he said the greatest among you shall be the person wearing the most expensive shoes. He said the greatest amongst you is the one who sits and waits to be served. No. What Jesus Christ is saying is that if you desire to esteem yourself lowly to serve others, you are blessed. Someone hit your chest and say, I will serve others. Hit your chest and say, I will forgive others. Amen. And now let's go to verse number 6. 1, 2, go. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What do you thirst for? And I always tell people that who you are is the person when nobody is watching you. Because that is when your true desires are coming out. Who you are is that thought in your mind that nobody sees. You know, I was talking to a group of guys and I was telling them, write in the group, what are some of the thoughts that come to you when you are alone? And these were like close to 30 men. And it was on Zoom. And out of the close to 30 men, only 3 people responded. They wrote, one said prayer. One said watching movies. And one said something. And I said, what about the rest? What comes to your mind when you are alone? And one person wrote in the chat room, Big Brother, trust me, you don't want to know. That is who you are. Who you are is that thought that you think about others even when they are not there. What you parade for us to see is just a facade. Who you truly are is what you do when nobody is watching and nobody is there to say stop. And I'm not talking to you alone. I'm talking to myself as well. So what do you thirst for? The thirst of a man would desire how blessed the person would be. Go through Forbes magazine. Go through the 100 list of most influential people. And they will all tell you, I got this far because I had the desire to make life better for others. Doors will open for you the very moment your thirst is right. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next verse. Let's go to the next verse. Sorry, I'm running because I want us to close on time so that we can have good lunch. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Blessed are the Shema. Blessed are the merciful. Oh, you are in the bus and when someone steps on your foot, you are going gaga. You, when someone does something to you, you can't even show mercy to the person. When things happen, you literally can't just forgive. You can't show mercy. If you can show mercy, that, and you know, one of the most merciful people I've seen in my life is my wife. Don't ask me why. Because if you ask me, I won't tell you. You know, and you see you are making mistakes every day and yet they are still forgiving you. And Jesus Christ is saying, how many times should you, they ask, how many times should we forgive? And he says, that number of times, 77 times. And that number, 77 times 7, the number 7 there means perfection. So in any establishment, when you have a repetition of something for 3 times, it means it is an eternal principle. So when he said 77 times 7, he meant eternally forgive. One of the things that really kill me is the silent treatment. Why are you laughing? Because sometimes, and you see, you know what you did is wrong, but you just sometimes, you don't even know how to apologize. And that is the thing. As much as you can, cherishing the relationship above the action. Amen. If you need help like I do, raise your hand and say, God, help me. Hey, am I the only one? Amen. But the Bible says, blessed are the merciful. Show mercy. Show mercy. Let's go to the next one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The purity, the state of your heart, determines the move of God you see in your life. The pureness of your heart determines the move of God in your life. The purity, the sense of purity that you maintain. How many of us are not married? Let me see the unmarried. Kobe Black, raise your hand. Let me see those of us who are not married. Let me see. Kobe, raise your hand. Yeah, yeah. Let me see those. Yeah. So, one thing. One thing I want us to understand is this. Now the media is selling immorality and sex. There was this time I was watching a toothpaste advertisement on YouTube. This is a toothpaste. What they used to brush. And they kissed. I was like, really? And it was not a normal kiss. Like you just, then. And I'm like, everywhere you look, there are things that are desiring to corrupt you. There are things that are desiring to steal you away. You watch these soap operas and they are trying to steal your heart away from the Lord. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence. And purity is not just about your action. The first stage of purity is your motive. It starts from your spirit, then it goes to your motive before it goes to your action. And Christ esteems our motive beyond our actions. So he says that if you look at a woman lustfully, you are gone. You've already done it. Let's go to the next verse. Back in senior high school, we had people we called the fight promoters. They are not going to fight, but they are going to be behind. Woo! He said that about you, and you are not going to do anything. Won't you go and give him a dirty slap? And you are sitting in the bus, and something happens, and you are like, I will not tolerate that. I will try as much as possible to retaliate. He's belittling you. They instigate. Why not be a peacemaker? Why not try to bring peace? And sometimes being quiet is not enough. When you see it going wrong, be the voice that brings peace. Be the voice that brings peace. Amen. When you see things are not happening well between two friends, be the voice that brings peace. When you see that there's an issue, be the one to bring calmness. Don't be the one to bring more fire. Then you are even more angry than the one who it was done against. Amen. Now let's read the rest of the verses together. 1, 2, go.
Amen. So it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you are persecuted, you are blessed. Some of you would rather hide your identity as being Christian so that you will not be persecuted. So you go to a family gathering, and your friends are like, you know, these Christians, they are always doing that, and they are doing that. They feel they are all that, and one of them turns to look at you and like, you go to church? Are you a Christian? I go to church, but you know, I'm not so serious, you know, because you just want to avoid that look. You go to work and they're asking, who are the Christians? And you're like, what if I raise my hand and they tag me and they are ready to sack people and they start with the Christians? So who are the Christians? You're like, I go to church sometimes. The understanding of persecution opens a door for blessing. If you honor Jesus before your friends, before your company, before your family, before people who are reviling against you, you will be honored before his Father. Do not be shy to say that I am of Jesus. So, I'm the president of the International Students Union for the law school. And last year, they wanted my profile. They wanted my profile for one of the magazines, the online magazines. And when I was sending my profile, I wrote, Perry is a Christian. So when I gave it to, I started, Perry is a Christian. And I continued. And I sent it to the Chinese president, Chinese Union president. And he said, is it really important I state that I'm a Christian? And I said, I want people to know I'm Christian. It's very important to stand out for your identity. But more so, it's better if your character speaks before your mouth does. It's better if your character speaks that you are a Christian before your mouth does. If you have to tell people you are a Christian before they know you are a Christian, then how do you say there's a problem in Chinese? You're Wenti. Hendo Wenti. Hambang. Handa. Wenti Handada. There's a big Wenti. Amen. If you have to tell people you are a Christian before they know you are a Christian, then there's a big Wenti. Amen. I want us to understand why I put this here. That your blessedness starts from within. The character formation. That is the first point of your blessedness before it translates into any other aspect. And that is what Jesus is much more interested in. Who you are on the inside. Who you are by way of character. By way of your words. By way of your actions. He is more interested in that than what you have in your bank account. But now, I'm going to look at it from the holistic view. When we talk about blessings, after the character aspect, how then do we highlight someone who is blessed? How do we spot blessings in our life? So I label the classifications of blessings in our walk in love. And like I said, the first point of being blessed is spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings, our identity, who we have become. Our inheritance, what is in store for us as children of God. Our calling, what we have been called to accomplish in the world. Then the second aspect of blessings are people. Many of us have been blessed by the people we have met here. I want to say that one of my deepest and greatest prayer that I continuously pray is I pray that the Lord make me more humble. Teach me every day. Father, open my eyes to be more humble. And I must say, I have seen people who have personified humility. My big brother, Brother Stephen, you can wave your hand. He's my big brother. Sometimes I call him daddy. He's a huge blessing to me. When you see people coming into your life and they are teaching you life lessons, cherish them. Because one of the blessings that the Lord releases into your life are people. Your boss that is always on your neck, he's a blessing to you. That person in the office who is always putting you on your toes is a blessing to you. Understand that after your character and inward formation, the next greatest blessing the Lord indulges in giving is the releasing of people into your life. The Lord, if God wants to send you, if God wants to bless you, he sends a person your way. So when God wanted to release the Israelites from Egypt, he sent who? When God wanted to reconcile us back to himself, he sent who? And in the same light, when the devil wants to destroy you, he sends a person. So when the devil wanted to destroy Samson, he sent who? Understand how to deal with people and harness the blessings out of them. Some people are in your life to be a blessing to you. How you handle them, how you treat them will open doors for your life. They might not even have the blessing in themselves, but they can lead. Let me take time to expound on this. Let me take time to expound on this. There are four kinds of people you need in your life. Someone say four. Raise your hand, say four. Four, yeah. There are four kinds of people you need in your life. One of the four is a divine connector. A divine connector. A divine connector is someone who may not have what you are looking for, but can connect you to someone who has what you are looking for. So, for instance, when I wanted a job, my mother didn't have a job, but was able to connect me to someone who could give me a job. A friend of mine wanted to do his master's degree in Canada. I didn't have the opportunity to give him that opportunity to go and study in Canada, but I knew a friend who was schooling in Canada, and now she's in Canada. So divine connectors may not have it, but they lead you to someone who has it. Amen. And we have divine influencers. Divine influencers are people who by themselves have the power to change things around you. So back in senior high school, I was involved in something. I choose to keep it a secret. I was involved in something and I was suspended indefinitely from school. And I sat by the gate and I said, who can I talk to help me get this thing averted? And I remember that I'm in a Catholic school. And in a Catholic school, the priest that is overseeing the school has a lot of power. He's an influencer in decisions. So I walked boldly to his office and said, Father Patrick, I did this and that, but I repent. And I'm even thinking of becoming a priest in future. Can you help me? Can you help me? I was lying. God forgive me. But I said, can you help me? Come think of it. I am, okay. I said, can you help me get back to school? He just wrote a letter. I took it to the school headmaster. It was not on my record that I was indefinitely suspended. I was an entertainment prefect. I was given back my badge. And I was made on duty the next week. There are people who by one signature can change your life. That is why it's important to treat people right. So we have divine connectors, divine influencers, and we have gifted people. Someone say gifted people. So a gifted person is someone who by virtue of their gift can transform your ministry or your business. You can employ 10 people, but there is one person who when employed in your office can turn your whole office and expand your work by a different means. Because he is blessed with how to put things together. I have the story of this wonderful man of God, Bishop Dagwood Mills, who wanted to write books. He had this dream for a single book. He employed one person in his ministry. And after 10 years down the lane, he has written over 100 books. There are people that come to your workplace. There are people that can even be your friends in class who can help you get to where you have to be because they are gifted to be a blessing to you. Cherish the people around you. Pray for such people. Hallelujah. Am I making sense? If I'm making sense, give me a wave. And the fourth group of people that I want to talk about are people who are burdened after your heart. I thank God so much. He's not here, so I can say it. I thank God so much for Daryl. Daryl would call me and say, I'm praying for you. Daryl would text me and say, how can I pray for you? And he would tell me, you know, I love you, brother. And I realized that the Lord had laid me as a burden on his heart. And trust me, you need someone who would be burdened with you in prayer and in thought. When you do something wrong and everybody's accusing you, such a person will still stand with you. Because she's not interested in the accusations, but is interested in who you become. And what joy it is for such a person to be your spouse. Amen. So these are the four kinds of people that we need in our lives. And trust me, many of us have scared people away who could have been blessings to us. The third point of blessings are opportunities. When the Lord opens an opportunity for you to go and teach in the school, don't think he opened it just because of the salary. When the Lord gives you the opportunity to go and stay in a city, or don't think he opened the opportunity for you. No. He gave you the opportunity so you can be a blessing to the people. When the Lord gives you the audacity to run a company, don't think it's just for you. No. No. Okay. You need to understand that when the Lord gives you an opportunity, it's so that you can be a blessing to someone else. Say, I will be a blessing to others. Amen. Then, the least one is material blessings. When I talk of material blessings, I mean finances. I mean the essence of well-being. I mean the essence of cars, houses. They are the least of blessings when you come to the kingdom of God. That is why you don't allow money to control you. That is why you don't become so conscious of money. You don't become so conscious of houses. Your whole life is all about, no. Amen. Material blessings are the least of blessings. But how far? They are very important. And what I want us to understand is this. In the light of blessings, every good and perfect gift comes from where? And God blesses. So when you see even a non-Christian who is blessed, that blessing was ordained by the Lord. Because the Lord has established principles that trigger blessings. And what I want you to understand is this. There is an even balance of grace and responsibility. There is an even balance of grace and responsibility. Every blessing we receive is by grace, but to a large extent, we must prove ourselves responsible. God will not give you a blessing that will destroy you. So, Rob, you have children. So, let's say Gabriel tells you, I want a BMW. How old is he now? 4 years old. He wants a BMW to ride to the playground. Are you going to give it to him? He said he thinks no. Why? Because he might die. Or he might not even be able to use it. God will not release a blessing to you that you will not be able to handle or will not be a blessing to you and others. It's one of the divine principles we need to understand. Great. Now, I wrote underneath, God will not give you anything that will destroy you. Let's go to the next slide. And I'm highlighting some of these principles that trigger a release of a blessing. Some of these principles that trigger, there are so many principles, but these are some of the principles that trigger a release of a blessing. And just like God established the boundaries of the sea so that it will not cross onto the land, it's very important to understand that the principles of God, they abide over all creation, not just Christians. So these are some of the principles that carry and release a blessing. The first principle, persistence. Someone say, I will not give up. You write an exam twice. You want to start a business plan. You want to create something. You do it three times and you give up. You are not ready for what is coming. Persistence is a doorway to be blessed. Do not give up. And one story I put there is the story of the widow and the judge. She said, I will knock on the door until he opens me. How many of you are ready to knock on the door before what you are desiring for is opened unto you? Yeah, I did it once. It didn't work. Maybe God doesn't want me to do it. I don't know. There was this song that I loved when I was growing up. If you fail the first time, try again. If you fail the first time, try again. Try again. Persist. That's why the Bible says the effectual, persistent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now let's go to the second principle. Humility and service. When you are humble and you serve, doors open for you. Blessings locate you. Be humble and serve. So the Bible says, he gives grace to the humble. And he what? Reduces the proud. He exalts the humble. And he reproaches the proud. And he says, the greatest among you shall be. So don't be surprised when that non-Christian who is always putting a shift in your office is made boss over you because of the spirit of excellence and service they portray. The third principle is the principle of giving. And with this principle, many people have it misconstrued. They normally say that when you talk about giving, they only think about money. No. You can give your time. You can give your books. You can give your food. When you share, when you give, you are blessed. In Ghana, one of the most richest people in Ghana is a Muslim. And they asked him, how come you are so blessed? And he said, Alma Zakat. And Zakat is the arm of giving, where they give. And he said, I give unconditionally. And it's a principle. Once you give, it's a trigger that you... And these are automated principles. Just like the way God established that the sea will not cross over the boundary onto the land. He has ordained as well that every giving would cause a return in multiple folds. And he has even shown that by giving his own son. And he says that for you to get more, until a seed falls down and dies, they can't give birth to more fruit. So these are some of the principles that I want you to understand. Let's go to the next slide. Keys on understanding kingdom blessings. Can we read the first one together? 1, 2, go. God's priority is for us to have a Christ-like character above every material blessing. Let's read the second one together. 1, 2, go. So, I like to think of us as pipes. Whatever we receive from God is not for us, but for others. If you position your heart well and your motives are right, God releases a blessing not only for you, but for generations. So just like Abraham, he said, I will bless you and make you a blessing unto nations. Amen. Let's read the third one. 1, 2, go. The difference between we who are blessed in the kingdom and those who are blessed as unbelievers is that every action that is done outside Christ is worthless. So if Bill Gates is not born again and he is given $1 million to Africa for malaria fights, it's a good deed. But if his heart is not kindled unto being born again, in heaven, when he stands accountable before the throne, it is still worthless. Because the Bible says you can give your whole body to be burned, but if you have not love, you have nothing. So it's not about the action, but it's about what binds the action. Whatever you are doing, if you are doing in Christ, then there is a reward awaiting you in judgment. Let's go to the next slide. Great. So these are three characters, but one of them is a couple, so I like to join them together. The man you see there is Joseph of Arimathea, and the couple you see there were blessed one way or the other, but they used the blessing to move the kingdom of God. Amen. So we are going to start with Joseph of Arimathea. He was a great man of influence and a respected member of the council. So the council that took the decision, a man of influence that was respected over the land. And even in the book of John, I think it records that he was a rich man. Everything you will receive is not just for you. Amen. The second point. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. After all that he received, he did not forget about Christ. He still sat. Sometimes when people, they begin to rise up in the ladder of work, they forget about Jesus. Then the third and crucial point, how he helped the kingdom. By his position, he used his place of influence to ask Pilate to take away the body of Jesus and gave him a befitting burial. I say it unto you that if Joseph of Arimathea did not approach Pilate, no amount of prayer would have changed that. There are some things that would need a man of influence to do. And majority of the time when you pray concerning a situation, it touches a heart. And the heart is turned to fulfill what God is saying. So this is Joseph of Arimathea. And I want you to understand that no matter the office you are in, no matter how influential you become, use it for the kingdom of God. Let's go to the second group. Aquila and Priscilla. How many of us are married? Victoria, put your hand up. You are not raising my wife. Put your hand up. Yeah, so she's married. Amen. So Aquila and Priscilla are also recorded in the New Testament. And if you don't know, Aquila is a man, Priscilla is a woman. And they are both recorded as missionary couples who had given themselves as servants of God. They were missionary couples who had given themselves as servants of God. Your marriage should not lead you away from Christ. Your marriage should cause you to serve Christ the more. I'm going to say it again. Your marriage should not lead you away from Christ. Your marriage should cause you to serve God the more. And the second point, they went on missionary journeys with Paul. They discipled members of the church, including Apollos. I believe that every marriage is given a divine assignment. So my wife and I, before we got married, I gathered with a few friends of mine, we're praying. And already in my heart, I wanted to be a missionary. So I told my wife about it. When I was proposing to her, I told her, darling, I want you to marry me because I believe you are going to be a blessing to my life. I want to be a missionary to third world countries. I want to preach and serve the Lord in the Middle East and Asia and all that. And the first time she said no, but later she changed her mind and she said yes. Amen. So I believe what the Lord has given to us is for us to preach the gospel just like Aquila and Priscilla and train evangelists and raise more evangelists. So I believe that. And I believe to every marriage, I believe the Lord has given a peculiar. It may not be to preach. It may be to start a company. It may be to run a store. It may be to start an orphanage. It may be to start a school. It may be something. And doing the work of God is not only when you are holding the mic. Can I get an amen? And the final thing I want to say about Aquila and Priscilla is that they hosted a small group in their farm, in their house. They hosted a church in their house. So on this note, I want to encourage all of us as family members, if you can, host a small group in your house and be a blessing to your neighborhood. If your neighborhood, there is no church, desire to be a blessing, following the footsteps of Aquila and Priscilla, let the Lord be your guide. Amen. So these are the two people I've spoken about, and this completes my series on the Fantastic Five. That is, we started with Uzzah, we went to Judas Iscariot, and we went to the Simon of Cyrene, and now we've come to Aquila, Priscilla, and we've come to Joseph of Arimathea. I would really crave your indulgence that take time. The website has got all the audios. You can listen in and you can literally relive the sermons. Amen. So take homes from today's sermon. Take homes from today's sermon. Can we read the first one? Your relationship with God should be your priority. Let's go to the second one. We should equally invest on our hearts and character. Spend time building good character. Spend time reading, nourishing your heart. And the third point, others. Can you shout it? Others. Think about others. Don't think about yourself only. You are blessed so that you can bless others. Bless others. I can't say this too much. Think of others. And on this note, the greatest blessing you can give to anyone is the blessing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's go to the last point. There is what? I can't hear you, please. Amen. Now let's read the final scripture. The final scripture. 1, 2, 3, go. He says, behold, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me, to give each one of you for your work. You are blessed for a reason. And I pray you'll be able to be a blessing to others. Let's bow down our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We bless your name for your word today. We give you praise and give you glory for this wonderful word you've spoken to our hearts. Even as your heads are bowed down and you are praying, just quickly take a decision on what you've decided to do based on the sermon you've heard today. Based on what you have heard today, what decision have you taken? Or what decision will you take? Father, we thank you for this word. Let your name be glorified in our lives. We also pray for anyone here who does not have a relationship with you. Grant us grace to walk with you and fellowship with you. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Have an amazing week. XICF, you are dismissed.